In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
You know, today I'm going to be speaking on knowing your what. Knowing your what. Knowing your what. You know, I remember growing up, every time I would move from one school to another, maybe from elementary to high school, or even move from one class to another, you know, there's always a talk the very morning or the night before the move. You know, African parents, they love to do that. They will sit you down and they will remind you who you are. And why was that necessary? Because it is believed that if you don't know who you are, you will get into some space and forget you and get involved in things you have no business being involved in. It is essential for believers in Christ Jesus to be aware of their what. Because until you are aware of what you are what, you will not be able to live effectively based on the provisions of the covenant. There are two things I'm going to be anchoring this on. But first of all, I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23. Then we go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the 20th verse. Okay, can you read it out, church? Look at it. He said, you were bought. Somebody said, does that mean I'm an item? Yes, you are an item. You are bought. If that will help you to grasp it, you are an item. You are a product. Somebody say, I am a product. Say loud and clear, say, I am a product. And he says, you are purchased. You know, there's some words which are very, 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 very important for us to grasp. And one of those words is the fact that you are purchased. There was a price on your life. Are you listening to me? You are what? Purchased. But it says, you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does that mean? God was the one that paid for you. God paid for you. Now, how many of you came to church with things you paid for? Yeah. Can you lift some of those things up? Your phone, for once. Come on, lift up the things you paid for. Unless you didn't come to church with anything you paid for. Alas, everything was borrowed. what did you get it? Now, those things that you pointed to were things that you paid for. Some of us went online, shopped for it. Some of us physically went to a store. I mean, thank God for the online, you know, era. There's still certain things I struggle to buy online. Anybody with me? One of those things, of course, I've done the experiment a few times, but still, I still struggle. Shoes, a pair of shoes. Especially these days of Photoshop. For example, there's something hanging in the wardrobe downstairs. In fact, I can't even promote it to the wardrobes upstairs. It's still downstairs. Why? Because what I ordered and what was delivered, there's a conflict. Has anybody been in that kind of situation before? And that's why when I'm going to order online, especially from a store I'm not too familiar with, ladies and gentlemen, I make sure it has to be something I'm willing to sacrifice. That it won't cause me pain if it does not look the way it was presented. I'm like, this particular, I mean, blazer, it looks like a fisherman coat. When I entered it, it was like I'm about to swim. But you should have seen the picture. You know, God deliver us in this generation. There's a monetary spirit online. There are algorithms that have been set to study you. And they know where you go to. So they will bring it to you. I don't know if you have noticed it. Yeah, at times it's like they are reading your mind. They will bring it to you. They will bring it to you. And some of us, we need to be, maybe I'm even going to do some deliverance today. We need deliverance. Because some of us, the moment those things pop out, before you know it, you have clicked it, before you even I couldn't help myself. It looked too good to be, not to be true. So, I bought it. But I'm not proud of it. So I kept it downstairs. But where you are concerned, God paid for you. Oh my God, you didn't hear me. And he did not just pay some, you know, it was not just some money he could afford to get over. Because it was his son. No, turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. Did you hear the preacher? God killed his son for you. Okay, so I said, God killed, yes, he killed. He killed Jesus. That was the deal. Jesus, you're going to die for these people. It was God's idea. Oh my God, you didn't hear me. It was what? God's idea. He said, I will have my son killed. But listen, he did not just kill his son just for the fun of it. He killed his son because of his faith in the products that will come out of that killing. And that's why he said, for you were bought at a price. Never forget the cost. You are not cheap. You are not on, is it flea market now? I mean, you are not on Walmart. You are not in Walmart. You are not in Amazon stores. You are so expensive that to have you, somebody had to die. Not at, you are not gotten free. You know, we need to get something right. Just because we talk about everything is free in the New Testament, the gift of righteousness is free, eternal life is free. What else is free? Everything is free. Even your faith, the God kind of faith, you got it free. It was implanted in you at new birth. So just because it looks like a bunch of things were given that you did not pay for, that does not mean those things did not come at a cost. Somebody paid for it. Let me give you a personal. Mr. Kaode, can you come? Ben, lawyer Ben, come. Can I borrow your iPad? Thank you. So, Ben, come here. This is iPad. So, Mr. Kaode went to Apple Store, right? And he saw this fine yellow iPad. It's a yellow case. And you know, how much are they selling iPad now?
$1,000.
$1,000, okay. If it's not iPad one generation, you know. So you bought it for $1,000. Can you take it? So, now, where Mr. Kaode is concerned, getting this iPad came at a what? At a cost. He paid some money, $1,000 to get it, right? Then, it's Good Friday or let's say Christmas. That's when people normally give gifts. Now, some people, they only give gifts during Christmas. Once you miss the Christmas period, you have to wait for the next year to get a gift from them. So it's Christmas and Mr. Ben is a very good friend of Mr. K, and maybe it's even his birthday is even around that season. So he paid for it, right? Then he now goes to his house and says, "Ben, I have something for you," and I'll get it. Okay. Now, where Ben is concerned, what is this? Come on, talk to me. What is this? A gift. But where Mr. K is concerned, what is this? A purchase. So it depends on how you are looking at it. Ben takes it and says, "Thank you. Thank you for this free gift. I appreciate it." But really, if you look at it very well, you realize what was a gift came at a cost. Thank you. Did you get the illustration? What looks like a gift came at a what? A cost. And that's why there's responsibility that comes with, you know, that gift. And that's why you, as a child of God, cannot say, "Because this is a gift, I can be careless with it." Because anytime you don't treat that gift well, is a demonstration of your lack of appreciation for the sacrifice involved to have that gift. So he says, "For you are bought with a price." Then you have a responsibility to glorify God in that body and that spirit, which are God's. Hey, the person that paid for it owns it. And here, it makes us to realize that the redemption is not just our body, it's also our what? It's not just our spirit, it's also what of our body. In fact, we were paid for, and that payment covers everything. Lift up your two hands and shout, "Everything." Everything. Come on, shout it like you believe it. Say, "Everything." Do you know, if you have the revelation of this, my God, there are things you've been coping with that you will break free from. Because number one, you realize everything where you are concerned is owned by God. Oh my God. Satan has nothing on you. Because the payment, you know, the understanding of this does something to a believer. I was fully paid for. And the person that has a right to me is the one that owns me. That's the one I live for. That's the one I glorify. The same way Ben will forever be grateful to Mr. Kayode because of the gift. It came from him. I glorify God because I came from him. I was bought with a price, and then I glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. Don't you never say, "Neighbor, everything where you are concerned belongs to God because he paid for it." Now let's go to First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. Knowing your worth. Knowing your worth. I'm not just some cheap product. I'm some expensive product that was paid for, and I cost a guilty. Look at it. Can we read it loud and clear? In other words, know the person that paid for it. And that payment was made so that you can be free. Don't live as if you are still a slave. Hey, you have been fully paid for. No one, the only one that has the right to call the shot is God. But guess what? He turned around. He said, "I'm giving everything to you as a gift." So just because God is not a taskmaster. Because he could have said, "Since I paid for it, I paid for you, I own you. I will make you do anything." No. He says, "You still have something called will. Yield that will to me. Then we can do something massive." In fact, I paid for you, but I still want us to treat like partnership. I want you involved. Do you know that's the difference between the devil and God? The devil haunts you, he beats you. God knows you and he says, I still need your will before I can do anything with you, or do I own you? But there's an understanding of the fact that since God paid for me, I'm no longer a slave. Can you get on your feet and shout it? Say, I am not a slave. I am not in bondage.
I have been paid for.
I am legally free.
I am legally free.
Can you shout hallelujah? You may be seated. I'm building something here. I hope you are getting me this morning. We've been paid for. We've been paid for. And it was at a price. And here, he went further to say, you should not be slave. You are free. Hello, somebody. You are free because you are paid for. God did not sneak you out of hell. It was not like the devil was sleeping and he said, wait, okay, let's get him out. Let's get him out. He's been in bondage for over 4,000 years. Let's get him out. And the devil woke up and said, oh my God, what just happened? No. God went through the legal route. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, I believe verse 17, God told man, he said, the day you partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will what? Die. Right? And what happened to man? Talk to me. What happened to man? Since some of you don't believe it. Did man die? Okay. I got like 15% response. Did man die?
Yes.
But was he still walking around the garden? So that means death is bigger than breathing. Not breathing. Man was walking and God said the day. He did not say later. He said the day. So that day he died. But it was, so it's possible to be walking around, but he's dead. Let me give an example. Anybody grew up with what is called ceiling fan? Okay, because some of us have never seen it before. You know, I wish. Interesting, we have ceiling fan here, but don't let me take the media through the process or whatever. I wish they could operate it now. So if this is turned on, what do you see? It will swing into action, right? Depending on the speed. If it's full speed, it will be very what? Fast. Then after a while, if an instruction is given to turn it off, it's switched off. The question is, will it stop immediately? Talk to me. Will it stop immediately? It has been switched off. So technically, this is no longer powered. But it will still be rolling. Now, you can look at what is rolling, talking about the ceiling fan, and conclude there is the power, there is the life in the ceiling. But really, it's dead. It's just a matter of time. So when God said, the day you partake of the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil, you will what? Died. Man died. But there was still motion. There was motion, but it was dead. It took time. Now, if you study the Bible very well, Genesis, you will realize that the first set of people, how long did it take them to stop? How long? Some of them lived how many hundreds of years? 900 years. Of course, with time, it began to slow down. To the extent that now in our generation, if anybody lives up to 100, he has broken record. I was still watching something a few days ago about a woman that was celebrating 104. And that was beautiful. I mean, but initially, it took forever for the death to manifest. But it seems as things decay and, you know, deteriorate over time, it has been cut short. In fact, in some nations, the average life, life expectation is 45. Interesting, that women live longer than men. So in some places, you will see 45 men, 55 women. They say, why? Maybe that will be for another sermon. But turn to your neighbor and say, you can't die at 45.
Say loud and clear. Say, you cannot die at 45.
Because I don't want to swear on God, but the only thing we hear about this sermon is pastor said the expectation is 45. That's not what I said. That is the statistics. Are you listening to talk? Now say it loud and clear. Say, you cannot die at 45. You cannot die at 55. 65. You are not permitted to die. Even 75. I do not agree. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. I mean, who will do your job? God says, occupy till I come. And they walk, you now go. You go, where are you going? Your house is not prepared. It's still under construction in heaven. So don't go. Sit down. Let them complete it. Let's work together here. You know, it can be very challenging raising a believer from the dead. And one of the reasons why it's challenging is some believers, in fact, I've had from interviews of a few people that once died and came back to life, how it was so difficult for them to come back to life. They're like, this is life. What am I going to do there? A friend of mine passed over a year ago, maybe over 2 years. It should be 2 years plus now. And his pastor was sharing with us what he experienced. He said when the information came to him, he began to pray for him. And after a while, he fell into a vision and he saw him. And he said, the amazing thing is the man we are praying for here was smiling. And the man mentioned his name. He said, you need to come back. And the man stood like, everything he said meant nothing. He said, no, I'm not coming back. He said, what about your wife? He said, she'll be fine. What about your children? They'll be fine. What about the church? They'll be fine. Really? Of course, there have been instances that it was Jesus himself that told some of those people, go back. He said, the people on earth, they will not allow it. Go back. But really, it's easier to raise an unbeliever from the dead than a believer from the dead. Oh my God, you didn't hear me? It's more difficult because that glimpse of glory. Listen, you don't know life until you pass there. This thing we call life. You know, it can be very interesting. The person you are like, oh, yes, that. That person is in glory. He said, come back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming to suffering. Now, listen, the best of life here, the best cannot be compared to that life. The best of what? Life. You know what you call comfort and luxury and enjoyment? Oh my God. And a lot of benefits. I mean, compared to life there, life with God, it's nothing. And that's why when people hold on to this world too much, at the expense of what is awaiting them, what a tragedy. Ignorance cannot be worse than that. Go and ask that rich man that ended up in hellfire. I say, okay, you know, what do you think? The man will say, it's not worth it. Having all the things in this world, I'm missing that one. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and loses what? His soul. You know, one of the things that blessed me most in this last mission was the amount of people that got saved in those locations. You know, when I saw people trooping out from, I was in Ibadan last Sunday, I saw people trooping from the right, from the left. In fact, we have stopped the altar call, they were still coming. Oh my God, it blessed my heart. As far as I'm concerned, if that was the only thing that happened, it was a success. Are you listening to me? It was a success. Because, you know, when you gain the life of God, That does not just assure you of a good life here, but assures you that after this world, you are settled. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, are you settled? Come on, say loud and clear, say, are you settled? You know, people celebrate, oh, I just got married. I just got a new job. You know, all the things we celebrate here is nothing compared to the assurance that you are God's family and you are settled eternally. Are you listening to me? It's nothing. And that's why the Bible says, for everyone that comes to the knowledge of Christ, he said, the angels of God, they break out into rejoicing. Do you know there are things we are celebrating here that is not recognized in heaven.
Can I be real?
I just caught a Mercedes Benz. What's the highest Mercedes Benz now? I don't know. Who is into car here? Help me out. Okay, 650. Even if you get 7,000 or 20,000, do you know a bunch of things? Even if you get a private jet, there's no scripture that says angels are rejoicing because the value is still low. The value of all those things is so low that it does not cause any excitement in heaven. But when somebody says, I come to embrace the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh, I choose to become one of the product that Jesus paid for. He said, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in heaven. There's excitement. That shows how much value a new creation is. Can you get on your feet? Can you get on your feet? I want you to say this loud and clear. Say, I value. And let me hear you loud and clear. Say, I value
my salvation
more than anything
in this world.
Say it loud and clear. I want you to say it three times. One, two, three, go. Second time. You may be seated. I can understand why some people, we even go to the extreme of attacking prosperity message. Because when it now you now make it look as if your prosperity on earth is what defines you. There's a problem. In as much as is the will of God that you prosper, what is the point prospering when you are hellbound? Now the question is, did you really prosper? Talk to me. Did you really prosper? No. You are miserable. There are so many miserable billionaires that we're celebrating here. You know, it bothers me when a believer has lost all values, that he chooses all his mentors are people on their way to hell.
Oh my God, should I say it again?
Oh, he's my mentor. He's my mentor. Look at your mouth. You should be ashamed. The person is not saved. Fine. There are a bunch of things he knows about the systems of this world. But the most important thing is the state of your spirit. You don't even value what you have. You're a child of God. You are born of God. You have the nature of God. You are heaven bound. And as far as you are concerned, that's nothing. That's nothing because of where you are staying. Ah.
Look at him. He doesn't go to church.
But live in the best space in this world. But what space is he going to after death? Talk to me. What space is he going to? Hell space. You can get the choice real estate on heart. If you are not saved, if you have not given your life to Jesus, is a waste. And by the way, those things that you call assets, do you know there's no asset in this natural world that does not deteriorate? Oh, you didn't hear me. There's no what? There's no asset. Of course, some deteriorate faster. A car. You know, mostly when you are taking a car out of the car lot, 5 minutes drive, it has lost 5%. Try it. Although, don't try it. Don't try it. That'll be an expensive. Try it. Go and buy a car today. And go back. Say, I don't want it again. All of a sudden, you just do them doing calculations. I just took it yesterday. Say, it doesn't work that way. It has lost value. Because we live in a world that is corrupt. Everything deteriorates. So what defines you is not your physical body, primarily. What defines you is not your intellectual capacity, primarily. What defines you is the state of your spirit. Now turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor.
Are you God's property? The price Jesus paid. Is that applicable to you? Does it own you?
Because it's not everybody that comes to church that Jesus owns. Hey.
Come on. Should I say it again?
It's not everybody that comes to church that what? Jesus owns.
Ooh.
It's not everybody. He's a nice man. You don't go to heaven because you're a nice man. There are a lot of nice men that will end up in hell. Because for by grace are you saved. It's not by your generosity. It's not by your niceness. It's not by your kindness. It's by the acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus. Am I preaching well this morning? Oh my God, know your worth. Jesus paid for you, and you're a valuable product. Do you know? I've been pastoring for 32 years.
Or 31. Is it 31 or 32? 1993. 31. 31.
Over 3 decades. Do you know? I've never had anybody come to me and say, I'm depressed, Pastor. Why are you depressed? Because of the state of my spirit. I've not been feeding my spirit very well. I've not been coming. I'm depressed because I finished school 7 years ago. I've not been able to have a real professional job. What else depresses people? Come and talk to me. I've been married. Oh, true or false? Several years ago, I was in United Kingdom. This should be like 20 years ago, thereabout. And I have a friend that we went to school together. When I was doing pharmacy, he was doing medicine. And he's a psychiatrist by, you know, whether here.
He said, people get depressed when they have not seen the sun.
If you get depressed by weather, you are shallow. Write it down. Write it down. If a weather, write it down. It's a commandment of any. Write it down. If you slap it, no! I know my words. I'm too valuable to be depressed by mere weather. People get depressed just by news on CNN, news on BBC. Oh my God. There's empathy. Oh, these are people. For example, you know, what is happening in a lot of Christians need to be educated. Thousands of Christians have been killed in the last several months. There are more Christians in Gaza. Do you know how many kids have been killed? Innocent kids. Let me pray for them. If you want to give to some NGO, I'm depressed. I'm down. Speak to yourself. No, don't allow emotional, you know, of God. Lift up your two hands and shout, I declare. Settled on earth. Settled for eternity. I have the life of God. You may be seated. Some of us are depressed. Some people think fame. Fame can even be the biggest problem. That is a life of bondage. Many comments. That is bondage. Oh my God. Should I say it again? That's what? Bondage. Reese, what's it called? Somebody here was mad at me. And I was wondering, why are you mad at me? He said, I've noticed when I post, it happened to a friend. No, it happened to me. I said, really? I was disappointed. So you think I'm that jobless? Is your post I'm watching out for? Oh, he has to be my friend. I have noticed. I said, how to call him? I said, by the way. So I just, but do you know what baffles me? Some people, they write it down. It's a disease. Write it down. It's a disease. It's a disease. You need to be cured of that. It's a disease. It's a disease. Because it's not just that time their husband comes back from work, he's in trouble. He said, just been married for 5 years. You've never taken me to Dubai, Wisconsin, you know, and Indiana. You take me to Wisconsin. He's wondering, what's going on? I thought you enjoy. When we were in Indiana, now everything I've done means nothing. Just because of the meditation, 25%, if not more, is fake. You will see couples that just threw punches 15 minutes ago. When it's time to retrieve for them to eat. Know your words. Social media. But listen, when it comes to the priorities, the order of things, There are things that are more important. Before we start talking about prospering, having a lot, or chased by the blood of Jesus. But you watch so much that your life is equivalent to Jesus' life. Somebody say, how do you know? By the reason of the deposit in you. Do you know what eternal life is? Come on, get on your feet. I'm done preaching. Know your word. Know your word. Know your word. Know your word. Because you are not defined by your bank account. Are you listening to me? And listen, those of you that are getting under pressure because some people are marrying demons. Single people, don't allow married people to oppress you. It's been heaven on earth. It's a confession. I know my words. I'm not defined by relation. Let me just marry. All my mates are gone. Some of your mates are dead. I know my words. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will what? We quicken your mortal flesh. It takes to get us depressed is log into Bank of America, Chase Bank, or Citibank, whatever. Your mood will just change. Graduating. Because the only one that has numbers is credit card. If you need to buy things to define your worth, do you have to get into debt to marry? I wasn't planning to say that. Because there's a prayer. Some of you don't even get 75,000 a year. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. Who will forget it? Because by the time they go for the next wedding, they forget about what you're going to do. Who are you trying to impress? If they want to pay, let them pay for it. Oh. Don't stop them. It's your child. Please pay for it. Yeah. And it's because you are under pressure. You have seen all manner of how beautiful wedding. Hallelujah! The church is the pillar of truth. If I don't tell you, where with it, re-examine your values. I've been into expensive values. Oh, you know, I can be put to shame. You're already in shame for people that I counseled because I knew they needed to get married, but based on whatever, I said, don't worry, we will do it. We package everything. They didn't spend. And we declare over the church people, they are married. They are married. Clap for them. And they can have small chops and pack for you. Go ahead. Amen. And it's because we have lost sense of reason. One of my friends, you know, just bought a property, a massive property. And he told one of his mentors, who is also extremely rich. What wonderful. Do you know what the mentor said? He said, why did you do it? He said, the houses I bought that I thought I was using to impress my children. He said, they've not been this area. Enjoy your life. When my friend told me, I'm like, oh my God. He now said something. He said, I have what this effort. Now, could it be that those money you spent in buying those things, part people here, but we impart for eternity. Know your words. I have no precious is what defines you. You are shallow and stretch to make a statement so that you can put on your handbag and take Instagram. See my bag. Gucci. Am I preaching well this morning? Yes, no, you're what? Oh, thank God for your beautiful car. I will not be under pressure to buy a Range Rover because of your Range Rover. Let me close. You know, I've said this over and over, and I'm going to say it again. There are two categories of people. People that are riding cars, and people that their cars are riding. By the blood of Jesus. Jesus owns you. You have the life of God. Your eternity is secured. Hey, Marcos Sotaba. In fact, when this product was released, angels were dancing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on what is what? Above. You know, there are things that we...
But I have them too. But listen, that is not who you are primarily. Don't get under pressure. Don't get under... Let it be obvious it was God that promoted you. You are not there. Or you want to fake it till you make it. But most of the time, it ends up as fake it till you break it. This morning, how many of you are still in love with me? You know I love you from the depth of my heart. You are the best thing that have happened to me after salvation and my wife and my children. But if I don't tell you this truth, I don't like you. Know your words. You re-examine your things were made, then you were made to have dominion over things. And things, Father, we thank you. Lift up your hands unto heaven. Father, we honor you this morning. We give you praise and glory. Come on, get on the keyboard and just let's honor God. Let's honor God. Man to sokrubaya. Angala sota baba baba. Egegele kri anda bala kota ya sotaba. Manga. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God. Oh, I have the nature of God in my spirit. Oh, we give you glory, Lord.
Glory, Lord, as we worship you, you are wonder. You are wonderful. You are worthy.
The director of finance sent me the budget of one of the mission, and when I saw it, what you should be asking yourself is, we're so saved. Is it worth it? Okay, because we spent so much money, don't let us do it again. What about the people that would have gone to hell because you didn't want to do mission? And to do mission, God will keep on providing. In fact, we will do more. Somebody shout more. And that's the joy of Christianity. Knowing fully well, boy, is worth it.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.